Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, this is Historic Hollywood, spotlighting the most influential and founding members of Hollywood.
Hey, everybody. I am your host, Autumn Chiklis. Welcome to today's episode of Historic Hollywood. And we're going to be talking about influential women in Hollywood. I am your host today. My name is Autumn Chiklis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Autumn Chiklis. And joining me is my lovely co-host, Carrie Bible.
Thank you. On Twitter at Film Radar.
Okay, so we had a different plan for the episode today, but some things got switched around, and we decided we were going to discuss a topic that is actually near and dear to both of our hearts, which would include influential women in Hollywood. So we're basically going to have a discussion about our heroes, the people who have influenced us as creators and as admirers, etc. So to you, who are like the most influential and important women in your life when it comes to Hollywood and the cinematic art, etc.?
Gosh, there's so many, but I'd say one of the earliest, again, I love a silent film, would be Mary Pickford. She really wielded more power, I think, than any woman in Hollywood probably ever has up until this day, mm-hmm. in terms of the slice of the profits she got, the control she had over her every single aspect of the filmmaking, from inception all the way through distribution. And again, I don't think there's a star today that can dream of that level of power. And she was a very astute businesswoman. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, and just so influential, and such a great talent too. You know, really, it's I think she doesn't play as well, I don't think, with certain modern audiences, but I think she's still, certain of her, at least some of her films, really stand the test of time, and they're so charming to watch even today.
Yeah, and I mean, you have to look at it in a historic context as well. And definitely, for the age that she was in, first of all, she was in a man-dominated industry. At that time, most industries were.
Oh, yeah.
But specifically, if you look at all of the people surrounding her, she was one of the original founders of the
United Artists.
Yes, and the Film Academy. So she was not only the most influential woman, she was one of the only who was actually, who had any kind of say in the way that Hollywood, if you will, the film industry was kind of shaping up. So even if you want to argue that her style of film isn't exactly what modern audiences are used to, which of course they're not, if you look at it in the greater context, you realize just how significant she as a performer and as someone behind the curtain was.
Definitely. Adolf Zukor once said of her, if she was not an actress, she would be running the U.S. Steel Corporation.
Oh yeah, I remember that. She was like such a powerhouse.
Definitely.
Right, so we're going to be talking, like, there's definitely Pickford, and then when it comes to the silent era, who are the other people you think that really made a huge difference in that particular era?
Well, the silent era, one thing that fascinates me about it is what an incredibly fruitful time it was for female artists, because mm-hmm. it was just getting started as an industry, so I don't think there was as much sexism in place, and it was so new, everything was new, so there were tons of women screenwriters, there were women directors, producers, and I think once it got a lot more corporate, and especially toward the latter end of the silent era, it just, things changed a lot, but in those early days it was such a good time. And there was one screenwriter I've read about, Frances Marion. In fact, there's a really good book about she and Pickford, well, mainly about her, but it's called Without Lying Down. And it's about her journey, and she was a World War I war correspondent, journalist.
Wow, and that I did not know.
Yeah, and she wrote tons of silent movies. I mean, there are so many that she wrote, it's kind of mind-boggling. And then she also kind of defied certain expectations of women. Like, for example, she's the first woman to win a screenwriting Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
She actually is the only one, as far as I know, who's won two. And both movies were not what you would... Like, sometimes women get shoehorned as, oh, she writes romantic art, you know, that sort of thing.
Especially now, and we can get into that a little later, about how when you look at women in film, and I'll talk a little bit more about this, over the course of film history, it's very obvious how the perception culturally of women has influenced the way they play out. That being said, I do agree with you, because I talked earlier about how it was a male-dominated industry, for the most part. At the very beginning of it, there was less sexism in the sense that because it was so new, it was a bit more of a free-for-all where no one had established that, oh, a woman can't be a writer or a producer, or especially not an actor. I mean, women have been actresses, well, not since the beginning of time, obviously. There was the whole situation where men had to play the women, but I digress. More to the point, I think it's interesting that if you look from the beginning of movies to modern day, especially with the influence of television, just how women have been perceived is reflected in the writing and in the actual work. So we can talk a little bit more about that. I know you were also talking about Dorothy
Arzner. She's fresh in my mind because I'm a nerd. I love to go to the UCLA Film and TV Archive. They have screenings at the Hammer Museum. Mm-hmm. And they just did a huge retrospective of Dorothy Arzner this past summer.
Oh, that's
and
really
so
cool.
I went to, like, the whole thing. So it was kind of fun to see her body of work over a long period of time. And she was, as far as I can think of, the only female director working for Hollywood studios in the 1930s. And possibly partly into the 40s. I mean, she just... Well, the early 40s, but that's kind of sad to think that is the only one. And some of her films are better than others. I'm not going to lie. They definitely were not all masterpieces, but she directed Clara Bow in a couple of films, mm-hmm. one of them being her talkie debut, The Wild Party. Mm-hmm. Dorothy Arzner is credited with inventing the boom mic, basically.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. And also she directed a really good all-female driven comedy called Dance Girl Dance,
and it
features
this, yeah.
Yeah, Lucille Ball's in it. Mm-hmm. So it's such a fun movie and such a kind of subversive one for the time. So yeah, it was really interesting. Another one of her films that, again, it's definitely unusual, but it's called Merrily We Go to Hell. And, which is a great title. You can't get a better title for a film than that. But it's about a young woman who falls in love with an alcoholic. So Dorothy was doing some really challenging, really interesting stuff.
No, absolutely. And kind of moving into Lucille Ball, who is a personal huge influence on me, even though she's more often associated with television because she was such a pioneer with, you know, 1960s sitcom, really 1950s, but then would ultimately be incredibly influential into the 60s and 70s. But that being said, she did have a film career, and she started her career as a model. And just when I was talking about that arc of women in film, in general, she was one of the first women who stood alone as a comic outside of the male sphere. And that was not unheard of, but very, very rare. There was kind of the stigma that kind of there's some, it lingers to this day that women could only be funny if they were perceived as masculine, and that women were not. The only time that they were helpless and not masculine is if they were helpless and kind of crazy. And Lucille was the first to really be equal with her husband in the comedy field. So she's an incredibly influential actress, physical comedian, but also pioneer for the form that would ultimately lead to, like, all of the comedies that we watch today. And she kind of paved the way for so many of the major female comedians that we have now.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I noticed I was watching the SAG Awards recently, and Carol Burnett got the Life Achievement SAG Award.
I love her.
And my parents let me watch her show when I was little. And she said that when she pitched her variety show, she was told that, quote, variety is a man's game. And
absolutely.
Carol Burnett proved him wrong. And I think she owes to Lucille Ball. I think all these women kind of stand on the shoulders of each other.
Not even a question. I mean, I've done a lot of research when it comes to women in comedy. And something that I find fascinating is that it does stem from this idea, and it still exists, that women aren't as funny of a sex or a gender as men as a whole.
I think Jerry Lewis even said that.
Oh, yeah. There was actually an article, I think, in 2007 in, was it Variety or was it Hollywood Reporter? But one of the major publications printed this whole why women aren't funny. And there are a lot of cultural reasons that have led to this kind of phenomenon and this acceptance, but it's really broken down, especially over the past 7 years. And that started very much with Lucille. So we owe her a lot as women who participate in the comedic arts. And now, obviously, when it comes to modern female influences, you have, like, the Kristen Wiggs, who are hysterical, and the Melissa McCarthy's, and we have Bridesmaids, which is still so close to us that we can't really look at it in retrospect, but I remember when it originally came out, so many people were saying, this is a movie that seems like a man's movie. It even has, like, man humor in the sense that there are, like, fart jokes and, like, all these kinds of things, but you have this really diverse group of women who are just hysterical. So, thank you, Lucille.
I get so frustrated every time a female-driven modern-day film comes out. They're inevitably, and it makes a lot of money, inevitably there's all these little editorials or think pieces that are like, wow, women go to movies. Huh. And I get so angry when I see those. I'm like, morons, we're 51% of the population. You know, I just want to hit somebody because I'm like, of course we see movies, but you don't make a lot of ones that appeal to us or are targeted to us or, you know what I mean, or good ones. So right, well, there you go.
Yeah, and I'm going to actually kind of use that to transfer into another one of my heroes, which is Nora Ephron, who was an incredibly prolific screenwriter and journalist and really changed the game when it comes to women in screenwriting and even in directing. And her feeling was that people also were trying too hard. I'll come back to that. But when you were talking, what I wanted to touch on was how you said they're not targeted to women. I think one of the biggest problems is that they're so targeted to women that it just becomes a lesser, like they think they're targeting women, but really they're just making kind of softer movies or like softer comedies, for example, when really women and men have equal taste. It's just make a great movie that will appeal to people. And if you want to make, here's an example. When you think of comedy, you think of something like a 27 Dresses as a female comedy and a Superbad as a male comedy, because you think that these are the two, not you specifically, but these are the two kind of sensibilities that they have. Mm-hmm. When I think it's actually a good movie's a good movie. And
you're right. Yeah, women, absolutely.
Women are just going to love a good movie. If it's not an individual's taste, sure, okay. But as a whole, I think we need to start looking at demographic as something that is a little less stringent, if that makes sense. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think a lot of studios, they like to, having worked at one a long time ago, mm-hmm. they like to slot things.
Yes.
Like, this exactly. is this demographic. This is it's frustrating. I think, though, you're right, a good movie is a good movie. But I like to see women in movies. I like to see me or my experience reflected in movies. And sometimes when you see a movie with all male cast, you just think, I mean, not that I don't enjoy plenty of those, I definitely do, but you kind of want to see a story that has to do with something you can relate to.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe. And I think representation is huge. And the fact that when I talk about gearing movies towards men and women, with that I entirely agree, where sometimes just from a relatability standpoint, you want to see someone that represents you or someone represents your mom or your sister or something that reflects your experience as a person. And maybe Mad Max does it with Charlize, or maybe Bridesmaids does it because it reminds you of you and your girls. Like, there are so many different ways to get that across. But as strong female characters go, that's very important, and that's how I'll bring in Nora, and this is how I wanted to bring her in earlier, because she was one of the first writers to really turn women into these three-dimensional characters who had sex drives, who were flawed, but also really, really funny and really clever, and they weren't just simply foils for the male lead, or they weren't just the best friend, they weren't just the romantic love interest. They had fully developed personalities. She even had a quote, basically, and I'm butchering the quote, but the general theme was, I'm tired of watching... I wanted to start writing for women who actually behaved like real women and not like these caricatures of women. So the more we see of that, one, we owe a lot to her, and two, the better for us, the better for really everyone, because you're going to have more in-depth stories, you're going to have different stories that we haven't necessarily seen, like different adaptations of things. So I think we're moving in a really good place there.
Well, I don't know nearly as much about Nora as you do, but I think Sleepless in Seattle, she directed that, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that owes a lot to the old style romantic comedies. I don't think a lot of movies today really can hold a candle to that. But like, I can see that movie having been made in the 30s, the 40s. Like, that's a movie that I can see in another time because it has that sensibility to it.
Yeah, and I mean, when you talk about romantic comedies, you had the screwball comedies and you had the very, very early romantic comedies. Nora was kind of in this new wave with her and Woody Allen, and where it was a little... Sleepless in Seattle follows kind of the normal narration and the normal formula, if you will, just kind of heightened and done in a better way. But to me, the pinnacle of her success was When Harry Met Sally. So,
oh, yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah, that's my favorite of all of her films. And it's a... It asks that question. It talks about the difference between men and women and how different are they and in what ways. And it's... It follows the formula in the generic sense where, you know, male meets girl, Harry meets Sally, they get together in the end, but first they go through all these struggles of, are they going to get together, are they not? Okay, they do. All romantic comedies generally follow that arc, but the way in which she presents both sides was so different, and all of the characters that are supporting have really thought out stories and very thought out characters, and each of them have an inner life that is partially because of the performances, but also because she gave them so much with the writing and so much. Like her best friend, who's portrayed by Carrie Fisher, her story is so well, it's thought out to a T, and the fact that she loves married men, and the fact, like, even just little things like her picking up a postcard and bending the side to indicate that someone's married but not throwing it away. Her writing was so important for women because it actually attempted to give voice, not to say that women were perfect, but this is how, in her experience, women behave.
Yeah, that's a good movie, too. I haven't seen that in a long time. I should revisit that one.
I recently rewatched it with a few friends on Valentine's Day. It was fun.
Oh, cool. Honestly, from what I remember, I think that could have been made in Hollywood's golden age if the production code didn't exist in any way, shape, or form.
That's true.
But it is a really, I remember thinking that was a really good movie.
No, it is. And so she's definitely one of my major influences as a writer and as a director, because she was so adamant on portraying women in the way that she felt was honest and much more relatable. And now you have a lot of... That's a lot more the norm, thankfully. It's just she was really the first to... She was a pioneer in that kind of development of storytelling.
Well, I think what is good about modern Hollywood is there are several actresses that are powerful, and they're sort of starting to realize if they want great roles for women, they're going to have to help create them themselves.
Yes.
So Reese Witherspoon, Rachel McAdams, Elizabeth Banks, and I think this last week, Jessica Chastain announced a production company.
I was about to say that, yeah.
And if you look at Jessica Chastain's credits, she has worked with a slew of female directors.
Mm-hmm.
So God bless her. She puts her money where her mouth is. And
absolutely.
And that's great, you know?
Yeah, more and more. And I mean, obviously, with the birth of the internet, there has been such a boom in communication when it comes to... there's been like this excessive conversation, not excessive conversation, but it's this global conversation that's been going on. And I know feminism has been a really hot topic as of late because it has kind of become a dirty word in a lot of ways because of some of the different, like, third wave feminism, and a lot of people now associate it with like man hating. And it's been brought back to light as, no, it just means equality, and let's try to remember what this is. And I think you're seeing a lot of that reflected in film and television in a way that is unprecedented. And I think it's a really exciting time to be a woman in film. Even if it's not perfect yet, you see it in all different kinds of, in comedy, in drama, where women, we still need to get equal pay, but I'm very optimistic in the direction that we're heading.
Yeah, I am too. I think, one other thing we maybe should incorporate in the discussion is the issue of women and race, because,
yes,
you know, Viola Davis, this year there was a huge controversy about Oscars so white and no African American nominees.
Right, of course.
Well, Viola Davis in her Emmy speech said, quote, "You can't win awards for roles that don't exist." And it's really sad because as hard as it is for women in film, if you look at the plight of African-American women in film. I mean, think about, like, Halle Berry, Taraji Henson, Viola Davis, they're all going to TV because yeah. that's where the roles are at. And she was right. What was there to nominate, at least from the female side?
By the way,
very frustrating.
It's arguable as well that there wasn't even that much when it comes to the male side. But that,
Not really.
When it comes to female representation of minorities in general, you're absolutely right. It is... You can't even... It's not even remotely close. You know what I mean? The opportunities just aren't the same. What I am optimistic of, and this is what I was talking about with the internet, is that because people are becoming more vocal and they're able to get their voices heard more, for better and for worse sometimes, this is an issue that can be discussed on such a in such a broader way. And so what makes me happy is that I'm seeing these conversations pop up, and there are so many different conversations that are stirred just from these hashtags and all of these things about that equality in particular and that kind of representation. And my biggest argument when it came to the Oscar So White controversy, especially with women, is where were they this year? You know what I mean? And sometimes that's the year. There are a lot of different factors, so I'm not going to get too much into it. But it's not even a question that when it comes to representation, it's not the same. So I'm optimistic as to where it's headed if we continue to try to have these conversations and, more importantly, write them. And I think that is where all of these women that you were talking about earlier who have kind of taken it into their own hands and have become creators.
They kind of have to.
You have to. And I think that's fantastic. Because if you're not going to be, and it's not just with women, it's not just with minorities, it's with anyone at this point. If you want to be a performer, because there are so many different avenues in which you can, be it YouTube, be it, I almost said Venmo, but the other musical website. There are like just so many different avenues to create that there's no excuse not to write your own material, to get a writer who's a friend of yours to write something that you're directing and starring with. And in that way, I think we're in a very empowered time.
And another thing, Meryl Streep, I heard that she has actually started a workshop for female screenwriters over 40 about writing good. The age thing, fantastic. That's another thing. Again, I love that people put their money where their mouth is. Because look, Meryl and Helen Mirren mm-hmm. get great roles. Think of all the other actresses over 40, over 50 that aren't. So I think what Meryl has done is, again, fantastic. Because she's basically saying, okay, I don't see a lot of opportunity. Let's create it.
When it comes to ageism, too, which is a very real thing, especially for women in Hollywood, you have, you know, very few people who... It exists for men as well. But it's not quite the same. Once you reach a certain threshold, have you ever seen the Amy Schumer, Tina Fey, like,
yes! Oh, I laughed so hard at that.
I was dying
gosh.
Because it rang so true about, you know, you reach this place as a performer in Hollywood, at least, not necessarily a writer, producer, or creative on the other side of the camera, but as an actor, you were definitely faced with kind of a timeline where you stop being sexy. Unless you're Helen Mirren, and then you're always sexy.
Yeah, she's got a lifelong pass for some reason in that department. But yes.
Because she's awesome. Yeah. But there are a lot of women who, once they reach a certain age, they just kind of are dismissed. And that is entirely unfair. So it makes me very happy, once again, to see that you have people like Meryl who have been able to cross over because they are so brilliant and try to open up more opportunities. And I think that's kind of what point I was trying to make with all these different examples and saying that I am happy, because don't get me wrong, I don't think that we're in the place we need to be. I think that we're far away from it. But what makes me optimistic is the fact that we live in a time that is empowering in the sense that I can go with a bunch of my friends of all different races and ages and genders and create something. Now, whether or not it's good is up to me and up to them. But if for artists, it's an exciting time because we have been given the opportunity to just put down a pencil, put, you know, finger to keys, and write and direct and create and put it on YouTube, put it on whatever avenue that we can. And the hope, obviously, is that if it's good enough, it will rise and people will be able to be exposed to all of these different voices that are being heard.
Definitely. Oh, there's another woman from classic Hollywood I did want to pay major tribute to. There's a lot, but Ida Lupino.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Oh God, no conversation about women in Hollywood should ever happen without the mention of Ida Lupino. It must be morally wrong, you know?
No, and the other people, obviously, that there are just so many throughout, not just cinematic history, but when you're talking about television as well, just because if you're talking about this medium of storytelling, but you obviously can't miss, when it comes to actresses, the Marilyn and Audrey group, who were obviously the duo, not together, but separately, were just so influential in their own ways. And so, I know from Audrey Hepburn's perspective, or in regards to her, because she was such an influential person on screen and off screen, she's become such an icon as not what it is to be a woman, because she's only one example, but she has created a voice for women that was so strong that, you know, those kinds of people, even though she's not the first, she was one of the most significant and one of the most, like, world renowned. So gotta love those two and mention those two. Are there any other honorable mentions you want to?
There's so many. I'm just trying to go through my head of thinking. If you saw the movie a few years back about Hitchcock, Anthony Hopkins played him. And, of course, Alan Mirren played Alma Ravel. Mm-hmm. But, again, she was very powerful in Hitchcock's career. Behind the scenes, she didn't get the kind of credit she deserved. But she was very, very involved with the making of his films. She had a lot of input.
I think it's also worth noting, because we've just been going over some of our personal favorites, that there are so many women throughout the history of film that will go unrecognized because they weren't recognized at the time. And that's true of really any major group, but especially with women, because it wasn't necessarily the most accepted thing to be a woman in film for a long time. It kind of created this block, but now what I'm, like I said, and kind of bringing it all full circle, what I'm really thrilled about as a young creator and as someone who is entering this industry is that it is no longer as difficult as it was to become known, in the sense that if you are a woman who is doing great work, it is no longer like, you're no longer helping men out. You can actually have your own voice in it. And that's incredibly significant. And we have all of these women to thank.
Oh, definitely. I absolutely agree.
All right. Is there any, are there any last minute comments we want to make before we close out?
I really can't think of any, but, I know there's a lot of great blogs about women in history.
Yes.
And present and, future, or present and past, rather, excuse me. And, There's so many great women out there that you can find out about on the internet, see the movies, which is the thing I always encourage people to do.
Yeah, and go watch movies and also create. If you're a person in Hollywood, if you're a woman in Hollywood, if you're a minority in Hollywood, or if you are neither of those things, you just happen to love the movies, go out and create, because you've been given the opportunity. Or if you are given the opportunity, rather, there's no reason not to make your voice heard, at least locally, so that eventually, one day, hopefully, you can be on one of these lists of people who are inspiring people all over the world, I guess. So,
definitely.
I think that's where we're going to leave it. So thank you guys so much for joining us. My name is Autumn Chiklis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Autumn Chiklis. And where can they find you?
I'm Carrie Bible on Twitter at Film Radar.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you. And visit us in 2 weeks again for another Historic Hollywood. We'll see you later.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
Beat of the tom-tom, when the jungle shadows fall, like the